Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Howdy, hour number three, third hour, Tiki and Tierney coming alive for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, Tiki and Tierney Studio on this Tuesday around the country, 3 hours every single day. And it is 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific right now. Of course, Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to help provide a seamless mortgage experience. Really bad news here. This is gonna ruin some people's summers next year. This is bad. Space Jam 2 is in peril. They fired the director, right?
They did.
Because they could not agree on the creative vision.
Terrence Nance has been let go by the studio. They couldn't agree on a creative vision. And instead, LeBron James, or maybe not him, whoever, the producer. I'm going to say LeBron James is hiring Malcolm Lee. His name you might remember from movies like The Best Man, Undercover Brother, Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins. I don't know that one at all.
Okay.
And Girls Trip, which D-Cell.
Is that somewhat recent?
Yeah, it was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
D-Cell says it was good. I haven't seen it yet.
D-Cell,
but he's better. Like, he's probably known as the cousin of Spike Lee.
Okay.
Spike Lee.
Well,
but Space
Jam
2 is in trouble.
How do you not have a creative vision before you actually map out? Like, you don't you go
Why
into
hire the
process
the guy?
Kind of knowing what Space Jam 2, at least the broad skeleton's going to be? I mean, don't you have a sense of the direction?
Well, you know.
You don't just sit down and say, okay, we brought in Anthony Davis. Now let's figure out the plot.
BT, doesn't this sound familiar?
Ah, David Blatt. He just got David Blatted. David Blatted. Booted.
David Blatted.
The creative vision.
Now let's see if LeBron and the Space Jam team can win a championship.
Yeah, we shall see. We shall see. Still waiting for the Cowboys to win a championship. Let's get to something here now. This is a follow-up from yesterday's conversation. You know, the threat that Zeke might hold out a little bit. We'll see. And now there's a couple of articles. We had this up on CBSSports.com that this could really trend in a very dangerous, very dire direction for the Cowboys. Here's my very simple read, although it's an interesting convergence of unique possibilities.
Yeah.
When I first isolate Zeke's situation, he's got no leverage. He's got 2 years to go on a cut. Not one.
Yep.
Got 2 years to go.
Because of this fourth year, and then they already picked up the fifth year option. BT's point.
He's not sitting out 2 years. He's not going Le'Veon Bell. So he's got no option until you factor in Jerry Jones's desperation to win a championship.
Yeah.
If I was to review this solely on Zeke's merit, I would say, Zeke, you have nothing to stand on. Get you behind in camp. We know you're grossly underpaid. Eventually, they'll do the right thing, but strap on the pads, get going. I'll be honest with you. If I'm Zeke, knowing how Jerry's not a young kid, his desperation meter is continuously ticking in the wrong or trending in the wrong direction, don't you think that if Zeke, and I'm asking the question, but I think I know the answer, but I want it from you. Don't you think if Zeke truly, truly drew a definitive line in the sand, don't you think Jerry Jones would crack?
I mean, probably, because Zeke is so polarizing is actually the word to use. But if you're inside the Dallas Cowboys, in particular if you're Jerry Jones, you love him. Because he's so effective. He's led the league twice in 3 years in rushing. And the only reason he didn't do it that middle year, his second year, was because he missed four games because of a suspension. Did he miss four or six?
I think it was four now.
I can't remember now. Whatever it was. He missed.
Didn't we think it was going to be six?
Whatever. He only played 10 games. But I think he may have missed some for injury. I can't remember now what happened. Yeah. But, he would have led the league again probably because he gets handed the rock. He's powerful. He's durable. He never gets hurt. He's turned into a wide receiver in a sense, at least a check down option for Dak Prescott, which is so important for a developing quarterback. Nothing's happening. Let me just chunk it down to my running back. Maybe he's going to get 5 or 6 yards. Maybe he breaks it for 40. And you start developing screens for Dak. For Dak and Zeke. And so if you want to win in its current iteration of this team with Dak Prescott as your quarterback, Ezekiel Elliott is imperative, right? It's not going to be some backup. We saw this with with Alfred Morris. Remember when Alfred Morris filled in when Zeke was suspended or hurt, whatever happened in those six games he didn't play two seasons ago? Everybody said, oh, yeah, Alfred Morris, yeah, he's doing it.
Okay,
yeah,
sure,
he's doing it. Okay, he's going to get you four yards because they have a really good offensive line. And
back then it was really good. Now it's not quite as good as
but he's going to get you 4 yards in a cloud of dust, but he's not changing the game.
No.
He's not ripping off a 50-yarder, you know, or taking a screen 76 yards for a touchdown. They need Zeke because he's a game changer, a game breaker, and in a way that they haven't had since DeMarcus Murray. Until Murray had that big day. DeMarco Murray had that big year a couple of years ago. And so they need him because without him, I think Dak Prescott's a lesser quarterback. So to answer your question, yeah, I could totally see Jerry Jones caving and giving him a deal, even though he really doesn't have to and shouldn't, especially as Zeke tries to figure out his personal life.
It's a very unconventional path because, again, for the reasons we documented, Zeke, at least you know on the front end, has no leverage.
None.
But here's some additional leverage, but I think this might be in favor of Jerry Jones. If, aside from Jerry's desperation, moving on to something else, if Zeke is seriously contemplating a holdout and it were to bleed into the regular season, I know it's dangerous to play the whole win-loss game in the NFL because you never know week to week. But Dallas Cowboys, first quarter of the season, Giants, Redskins, Dolphins, at Saints. Obviously, at Saints will be a little tricky for anybody. Mm-hmm. It's at New Orleans. But, you know, the Giants, crapshoot. I don't think they'll be terrible.
They
I don't
always
think
play well. The Giants always play well down there, whether they're good or bad, it doesn't matter.
That's true, and Dallas is hosting that game. At Washington, who's playing quarterback? It's not going to be Alex Smith. I mean,
probably going to be Dwayne Haskins.
I think it's probably going to be Case Keenum. I think maybe to start the year, maybe. But it's either going to be Case or Haskins, which just further emboldens, you would think, Dallas, if they had to move forward for the first quadrant without Zeke, because you think you could beat, no matter who's playing quarterback for the Redskins, of the options, you should win that game. Then you're playing Miami.
Yeah.
New coach, who's your quarterback?
Yeah.
So those are winnable games without Dak. This is going to be really, really interesting because right now, from a logical point of view, Zeke has no leverage, but every circumstance points to tantalizing possibilities that could embolden him to possibly skip out on some time.
Yeah, no, and you'd hate to, if you're a Cowboys fan, see it because it's just the beginning of drama that you don't need, right? There's drama hasn't really hit the Cowboys in a while, right? Serious, I mean, in a serious way that affects the on-field product. This would do that. Some people will point to this is a selfish act from Zeke. He got drafted in number 4 overall. He had obviously a big contract. And you're in the top 5. You're paid pretty well. But he's been the best running back, or one of at least the top 2 or 3 running backs in the NFL since he came in. From the moment he stepped into the league, he's been one of the top players at his position. And so he deserves to get paid. But the way that they're set up, they can't pay everybody. Because we're not even talking about the defense side of the ball. We're talking about Amari Cooper and Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott, all of whom have to get paid. We're not even talking about the defensive side of the ball. And they're like, they wrapped up Marcus Lawrence, right? But there's still guys that got to get taken care of.
But not yet.
Eventually.
Sure.
That's my point.
I mean, you got to deal with one item first. I mean,
yeah, but you're gonna load your side. You're gonna load your cap on the offensive side of the ball with your 3 stars. Now, look, and people will harken back to the 90s with the Cowboys, and you say, well, we had a big 3 there on offense, right?
And defense.
But I'm talking about specifically offense with Aikman and Emmitt Smith
and Michael Irvin.
So it's like, yeah, it can be done. But money was different back then.
Totally.
Right. You didn't have to, you know, overpay these guys to keep them. So it's different now. It really is. The Cowboys are in an interesting position, and Dak or Zeke is going to be, I think, a catalyst maybe for some drama that we haven't seen in a while in Dallas.
I think if you want to really get your answer, I think you have to ask yourself the question, which wins out, Jerry's desperation or Zeke's unhappiness? I think that's, you boil it down to that question. I mean, which one wins out? Which is the stronger pull? Yeah. I submit that it's Jerry's desperation.
You think the Cowboys can win a championship this season?
Are they Zeke?
With as they're currently constructed, and Zeke and Dak and everybody
else. I think they're in the mix. Yeah.
Are they in the mix?
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be them or the Eagles who win the NFC East.
Well, then that answers your question.
Exactly. But even if they weren't truly in the mix, Jerry's warped perception of his own team.
Yeah, I mean, he thought they were going to win
exactly
3 years ago.
Yeah. So even if they're really a 6-10 team in terms of talent, which they clearly are not, mm-hmm. in Jerry's mind, he would surmise that they're on the knocking on the door of a championship because that's what he does.
Yeah.
He thinks they're always ready to win a championship, which I guess as a Cowboys fan on some level you have to appreciate. It's a little Steinbrennian, if you will. But it's also tiring, you know, because those who really know the deal. Now, this year it doesn't apply because Dallas on paper, both sides of the ball, fast, pretty young, and pretty talented.
Yeah.
You know, young and talented in the spots you need to be young and talented in. I love Dallas this year. You know, I don't know if I'm going to pick them to beat the Eagles. I don't know if I'm going to pick the Eagles to win the NFC East, but it's pretty damn close. I mean, I think Dallas and Eagles are right there. And be honest with you, now that I think about this on the air, I think in totality, I think Dallas is better. I mean, the Eagles had some defections.
Well, they probably are. The Eagles got old really quickly. Chris Long, I mean, whether you want to think he was an elite player or not, he was an important contributor for that team.
Yeah.
Malcolm Jenkins, who I love. I think he's a great guy, humanitarian, just, and a great player. But he's getting old. I mean, he's 33 or 4 years old now. And so they're aged a little bit. Now, obviously, Carson Wentz has got to prove he can stay healthy. I like the Miles Sanders draft pick at running back. I think they're going to, you know, by committee, their backfield. They got really good wide receiving core, but it's hard to win in the NFC East, even if the other teams are down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the year that they won the Super Bowl, they almost lost to the Giants. You know what I mean? The Giants were in a bad spot that year. So the East is rough, and it gets very punitive for teams who don't have all their ducks in a row. Especially coming down the stretch. So it's anybody's game right now. It's obviously between the Cowboys and the Eagles. But if you had to ask me to call it right now, I couldn't. I got to see how it plays out.
No, I hear you. If I had to, I would lean Dallas, but fair. I mean, it's one of those divisions. You know, quite frankly, I mean, not to start diving into the divisional supremacy here in the middle of July, but mm-hmm. now that it just came up organically, like you look at these divisions – you know, obviously put the Pats aside until they're proven not to be the team. We can't waste time on the AFC East here. But, you know, the AFC North, you know, all right, the Steelers retooled, but they always make the right decisions with mm-hmm. wideouts.
Yep.
The Ravens are really interesting. The Browns are incredibly talented. Flip a coin, who knows? You know, the North, I'm not as big. I love Nick Foles for what he did for Philly. I don't love Nick Foles going into Jacksonville.
You mean the South?
South. And upending the Texans or the Colts with a healthy Andrew Luck, but you never know. And even the Titans are pretty well coached and pretty talented. I mean, most of these divisions, the AFC West, there's the only bad team from last year was the Raiders, and they've gotten a lot better based on who they brought in. So it's going to be tight. The North, the Bears are for real. Packers are back healthy. Vikings are for real for the most part. Detroit's always at least interesting. And it's going to be tough this year. It'll be very hard. Is there the only division maybe? I'm looking at the NFC, again, putting the AFC East aside. The NFC West, Cardinals should be garbage. They're just not ready.
No.
They're not ready.
There's so many questions, but the Seahawks are always viable.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just thinking if I want to throw the Niners in the mix there. Yet.
I mean, you have to with Jimmy Garoppolo, right? The problem is
what's
surrounding. Yeah, but I mean, he's paid to be the man. Can you imagine if he turns out
Kirk Cousins last year?
You turn out, well, Kirk Cousins, I mean, Kirk Cousins won some games over the course of his career. Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't really done much of anything. Can you imagine if Jimmy Garoppolo turns out to be like a bust?
I guess I could think about
what Kyle Shanahan and this 49ers staff put into acquiring him.
Yeah. Lynch.
And Lynch. Yeah. And then paying him as much as they paid him.
Yeah.
And he looked very average before he got hurt last year.
Yep.
And he's coming off an ACL. He did it early, so there's like lots of time, I think, for him to be healthy. But can you imagine if he's just not the guy? Mm. Think how much that sets back the 49ers. I mean, they're bad.
They had a couple of backups that were good.
Yeah.
Well, Mullins, what's the guy? I'm forgetting his name. I haven't really studied the depth.
I
think Mullins played well.
They did.
Everybody. They had three guys that played last year, and all three flashed.
You're right.
I remember. Now I'm forgetting the third name, but there's another name out
CJ
there.
C.J. Beathard played.
Yeah, Beathard.
Nick
Beathard
Mullins.
Was good.
And then I have Wilton Spate, who.
Yeah. Guess it ends there. All right. Hey, listen, just a little sense of what's coming this summer. Football's around the corner, which is good by us. Okay, coming up next, Barrett Salee, CBS Sports college football writer. Kick the tires on SEC Media Day, Big 12 Media Day, quarterback battles, some early season college football next on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way to save money. Just switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. It's almost time to start getting serious about college football.
It is.
When the press day, the immediate day comes in, it's time to start taking stock of what's going on. And Barrett Salee was out there for SEC Media Day. Myriad stories within the best conference in the land. Sorry, Big Ten fans, tap them. Still the SEC. And we're joined by Barrett, CBS Sports college football writer with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Barrett, how you doing today, buddy? What's happening?
I'm good, boys. Just sitting here in the circus in Hoover, Alabama, known as SEC Media Day.
Yeah.
The rite of summer, so to speak.
Yeah, love exactly. It's all week, right? You have two couple teams every day, all week. And one of the more interesting ones that I heard, because we ask this question all the time in the SEC, is why can't LSU get a quarterback or an offensive scheme that's commensurate with everything else that's happening in the SEC? And I just read this article about Joe Brady, who's with the Saints. He came over and did like a seminar or something, and they loved him. Ed Ogeron decided to hire him. Are we going to see a different LSU team this year?
Well, I'd love to tell you yes, but probably not. But for the first time in a long time, and I've been as cynical on LSU as anybody over the last, you know, 5-6 years.
Yeah.
This is the first offseason where I think they might actually consider potentially trying to at least incorporate a little bit of creativity into that offense.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, they like Joe Brady. We talked to all the LSU guys yesterday. Joe Burrow and Ed Orgeron specifically were really high on the creativity, not really just because he was with the Saints, although that certainly does help, but the fact that he's 28 years old, the fact that he can relate to some of these kids, the fact that he – in a sense, was one of these kids not too long ago. So he kind of grew up with the football, you know, the new age of football. Like that's all he knows, as opposed to, you know, 40, 50-year-old offensive coordinators who remember the good old days. So they're confident that he is going to be the magic elixir. With that said, they had hired creative offensive coordinators in the past. He's still – Joe Brady still does not have the ultimate call in the play. Steve Ensminger is the offensive coordinator.
Yep.
And Ed Orgeron and Les Miles both tend to put their hands on that offense and get a little too conservative when maybe they shouldn't. So I think it's fair to be in I'll believe it when I see it mode with LSU. But like I said, over the last 6-7 years, if there was a time where – I was more inclined to believe it than others, this would be one of those years. Although, again, I want to see it, especially week two against Texas.
Yeah, that sounds like my sentiments as well, Baird.
Obviously want to jump around, cherry pick a couple of the stories here. You know, last year, 10 wins, 5-3 in the East, second. Kentucky, you know, a couple of kids drafted for sure, one very high and a bunch of – I mean, just, they show progress. I mean, they're really coming along. Is last year represent the – or I should say, will this year represent the continued direction of Kentucky, or is this a big step back? Because it always seems like when they have the occasional pop, it's met by regression. Where's Kentucky going in right now?
Well, I think regression is likely. And, you know, I think if you're, you know, if you're a Kentucky fan, you almost expect that a little bit just because, you know, sustaining 10 wins every year, that's not something that happens, you know, overnight, especially for a program like Kentucky. You know, so, you know, taking a step back, I think still might be acceptable, especially when you consider that, you know, you lost a generational type defensive player, you know, in Josh Allen. So, you know, it's one of those things for Kentucky where, you know, if they go back to a 7 or an 8 win team, think about that for a second. They've improved every single year under Mark Stoops, or at least stayed the same every single year under Mark Stoops. And if you regress to a middle-tier bowl team, if you're Kentucky, you'll take that any day of the week. So defensively, the defense sort of drove the bus last year. That probably will not be the case this year. They're going to need a bigger year at Terry Wilson. They're going to need to figure out the running back core. They're going to need to figure out how to kickstart this offense because it really wasn't that good last year. And so a regression back, I think, is probably in the cards, but it won't be a big step back. And if you're Kentucky, that's a really good sign that Mark Stoops has things going in the right direction.
Yep, raising the bar. Barrett Salee, obviously SEC Media Week is all the rage. It's a lot of stories, a lot of cherry picking to do here. We're bouncing around. He's with us here, CBS Sports college football writer on Tiki and Tierney.
Hey, Barrett, we know the East is likely to be Georgia. The West will be Alabama. We'll get back to them in a second. But Kelly Bryant, who is of Clemson fame, transferred to Missouri. Are we going to see a lift from any specific team? We'll start with Missouri, but any of these other teams in a threat to come up the standing, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's still Florida. I mean, they went to an English Six bowl game last year, and Dan Mullen's a great coach. He's proven it at Mississippi State that he can take one of the, you know, cellar dwellers of the SEC and not only lead them to success, but they were number one in the country in the first ever college football playoff bowl. So that's little old Mississippi State. This is big old Florida. And, you know, so I think he knows how to win there. He's won a national championship as the coordinator. So he understands what it takes. His offense has clearly worked. He's got an established quarterback in Felipe Franks who closed last season extremely strong. And he's got a recruiting base that he, you know, can take advantage of. So I think the problem with any team catching Georgia right now is that Georgia's still going up and is almost at that level as Clemson and Alabama. So if Georgia's still going up and Florida still improves, Florida still might be falling behind Georgia a little bit. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
You know, I think it still can be Florida. But they have to have a couple of things really go their way, specifically the offensive line. You know, they lose four starters. That was a big part of Felipe Franks' success last year, late last season. So that offensive line better get right because in week zero, that Miami defensive front's looming, and that's no joke.
All right, let's get to a hot seat, and Gus Malzahn here. I know the president who gave him the big buyout is gone, and I believe that he was really the only true ardent supporter of Malzahn. Most people wanted him out, and this president said, no, he's staying, and now this president's gone. So Gus Malzahn has no supporters in the room. You better win. I mean, 8-5 doesn't cut it. I mean, how high are the flames for Gus Malzahn right now?
Yeah, hottest in the SEC, no doubt. I wouldn't say hottest in the country because Clay Helton still exists at USC, but that's not exactly good company to be in. So, yeah, I mean, new AD, Alan Green, has been there for a little while, but certainly didn't hire Gus Malzahn. So anytime you have a new AD, in addition to now a new president, if you're any coach, you got to be looking around going, well, these aren't my bosses. Like, these aren't the guys who hired me. So what's the deal right now? But, yeah, I mean, I think the thing with Gus Malzahn, and I think what was really concerning last year for people around that program, is that, you know, his baby, his offense, the thing he's known for, was just awful. And, you know, I think you won't accept if you have some lulls, you know, here and there. But if you have an offense that's that bad, coming from a guy who quite literally wrote a book on the hurry-up, up-tempo, no-huddle offense, then that's concerning, especially considering you had an established quarterback in Jarrett Stidham. So it's definitely hot. And I think you look at Auburn's schedule, especially early, a lot like the 2016 season when he's on the hot seat. He had to beat LSU at the end of September to keep his job. But, you know, that September had Clemson, it had Texas A&M, and had LSU. This year he's got Oregon, he's got Mississippi State, he's got Texas A&M, and then October, early October, he's got Florida. So if they don't figure out their offensive line, they don't figure out their quarterback situation, you know, you could be talking midseason, Gus Malzahn being in some major, major trouble. So he's certainly on the hot seat in the SEC. I don't think there's any question about that. And really, the situation from a roster standpoint and from a schedule standpoint don't do him any favors. So it'll be quite an interesting month and a half start to the season, especially if they don't get off to a good start against Oregon and Jerry World.
Yeah, now the two teams that obviously lead both of these sides, we just mentioned them early, Florida, not Florida, Georgia and Alabama. Georgia feels like, and you mentioned this, they're still ascending. I think Jake Fromm is one of the top quarterbacks that's going to come out of the league and go into the NFL next season. But Alabama's, there's some noise that they lost too much, and Nick Saban's got to rebuild, and it might not be as smooth as a lot of people have thought in previous years. That's bunk, right? That's nonsense.
Yeah, that's nonsense. That's total nonsense. They'll be just fine. Now, I mean, yeah, there are some issues. I don't think people really understood, and I don't think they let it be known just kind of how dysfunctional that coaching staff was, you know, the middle, the end of last year. I don't think they let on how injured Tua Tagovailoa was, you know, from the beginning of November on. So let's not kid ourselves. They're not invincible, obviously. Clemson proved that. And, And, you know, they certainly aren't invincible within the confines of the SEC either. I mean, even though Georgia lost to them last year and the year prior to that, they still had they outplayed them for 52 minutes each time, right? So there are some issues, and I think that they felt like they addressed them, specifically with the coaching staff and a lot of coaching staff turnover, especially in terms of experience. I think they felt last year they had to go a little bit younger, a little less experienced in terms of X's and O's to try to keep pace in recruiting, and that backfired on them.
Yeah.
And so a step back for Alabama to me is way different than other schools. You know, a step back for them is being tested all the way to the final game of the season and still playing for an SEC West title at the end of the season. If you're doing that, you're still in the national championship hunt. And then that's not changing at Alabama anytime soon, although obviously they do have things to address. And quite honestly, I think 48 hours after they got smoked by Clemson, Nick Saban was probably smiling year to year because he has that to motivate this team for an entire offseason, and that's not going to change anytime soon.
Hey, Barrett, final thing for me, and it's Barrett Salee, CBS Sports College football writer with us here on Tiki and Tierney, really focusing in on the SEC Media Week here, premier conference in the country. It is obviously fluid. Guys can work their way up the draft board, work their way down based on how they play. But if I asked you right now, just as a nice appetizer to the audience, as we, you know, before we really start digging into mocks, how many players in the SEC right now are, say, top 10, top 15 pick material on paper going into the season?
Top 10, top 15. Whew, buddy. I'd say probably 4 or 5 right now are that caliber, and that is without knowing, you know, who this year's Quinnen Williams was, because no one would say Quinnen Williams would be that guy, you know, this time, you know, a year ago. So, you know, I think you're looking at Tua, Jake Fromm. Andrew Thomas would be in that mix as well, the offensive lineman from Georgia. You might see somebody else from like Raekwon Davis from Alabama, Rashad Lawrence from LSU, DeAndre Swift from Georgia, Derek Brown from Auburn, the defensive lineman. I mean, they're loaded. So I'd say probably 4 or 5 at least, top 10, top 15.
Okay.
And that, again, is well, without even knowing who's going to be the random dude who steps up and becomes a star this year.
So about a third,
yeah.
as per usual.
Yeah. Barrett,
yeah, right. Par for the course, right, guys?
Hey, yep. Barrett, last one for me, and I know this was mentioned yesterday as well, the strength of schedule issue in the SEC. Alabama plays Western Carolina, the penultimate game of the season. Western Carolina, were they going to do something about this?
No, they're not. The SEC won't, and I mean, if I'm in the SEC office, I wouldn't either, because it hasn't come back to haunt them yet. You know, so until it haunts them, they're not going to do anything about it. Now, personally, I certainly would, just from an you know, outsider standpoint, and it's a really easy fix. I mean, you don't have to go to a 9-game conference schedule to fix it, although that's kind of the alternative people have proposed. The easy thing to do is just say, hey, look, the week before rivalry weekend, that is a mandatory conference game week. Because, I mean, the thing about not only that week, the SEC East race is almost completely over by the time you get to mid-November, because 4 of those teams have out-of-conference rivalries on the final week of the regular season. So it needs to change. It won't change until it becomes a problem for the SEC and its teams. And an easy fix, if they're not going to go to 9 conference games, is just to make that week a conference game-only week. And let's be honest, as employees of CBS, that's more content for us, right?
Yeah.
Oh, of course. Hey, listen.
If it's selfish, it works.
And watch out for those catamounts. They're dangerous. Western Carolina catamounts.
That's right.
All right, man. We'll be reading you a lot. We'll be talking a lot. Good stuff. Barrett Salee, appreciate it very much. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Wood.
Okay. There it is, SEC. We'll do this with all the conferences, obviously. Just a little sense of what's going around the corner.
Big 12 is going on right now. Problem with the Big 12, media day. Texas and Oklahoma. What else are you talking about? I guess TC. I guess there's some others in there, but it's Texas and Oklahoma. That's what you're thinking about right now in the Big 12.
Yeah, I got to see a little something from Texas this year. I got to see a nice jump forward. Nice big one.
100%.
It's about time,
Tom
right?
Tom Herman's third year?
I think it's his third year.
Third year?
Uh-huh.
It's time.
Time to go.
It's time.
It's go time. Axe update time is right now. We'll come back. We've got the blast. Rich Ackerman right now. Here he is. Pack it up. Pack it in. Let me begin. I came to win. Battle me. That's a sin. See, Tiki doesn't know this song. Tiki only knows, like, conventional rap.
I know the chorus.
This is the...
Jump around.
Well,
jump around.
I refer
jump
to this
up,
as...
Jump up.
it's time to leave the bar when the star's playing in college. This is when mayhem usually ensues.
That's exactly right.
Hey, the great Manny Pac-Man Pacquiao, boxing's only 8th Division world champion, returns to face the hard-hitting undefeated Keith one-time Thurman for the World Welterweight Championship coming up this Saturday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, live on pay-per-view. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. We'll get to the blast in a moment. Time now as well for the Player of the Week, brought to you by Granger. Taking a look at the one who got it done this week, Cody Bellinger, mashing Dodgers.
He's ridiculous.
He's playing wiffle ball.
He really
is. He's got such a sweet swing, too. It's so, like, supple and just, it's like a long, loose, but explosive. He's incredible. And he's obviously an MVP candidate right now. 7-for-16 since the All-Star break, including two more bombs last night in L.A.'s win over Philly. They crushed him. Bellinger finds himself vying for a triple crown this season, leads the NL in home runs with 33, second in RBI and batting average. So he is in the mix for the very rare accomplishment, the old trip crown. Player of the Week brought to you by Granger. Granger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it. Just go to Granger.com.
All right. So yesterday, Steve, I'm looking at CC Sabathia, my buddy's Instagram account.
Okay.
And he has a video that I'm sure a lot of people have seen now of the Greek freak Giannis taking BP. In the cages.
Let's see. This is going to be ugly.
This
is already ugly the way he's holding the bat. Oh.
This might make me change my mind.
Not as bad as I thought.
Okay,
actually,
you missed the last four. This might make me change my mind about whether or not he can develop a jump shot.
Oh,
seriously!
Wow, because that's an interesting connection.
He's not an athlete. Other than
the guy who jumps out of the gym and runs like a gazelle, but he's not an athlete.
I can do anything. Like Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson could do anything. You pick up a golf club, that dude was probably, if he wanted to play golf, he'd probably be like a five. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Play basketball, he's unbelievable, obviously. Play football, he's the best player on the field.
Yep.
Play baseball, I mean, he did anything. I worry about guys who aren't naturally fluid doing other things.
That was
things.
Ugly. I just saw it. It's, I guess another network is running. It's nasty.
What, D-Cell?
What?
I would have to be fair to him. Yesterday was literally the first time he picked up baseball in his life.
Can you tell me you've never, ever, ever seen someone swing a bat and you can't mime it? You know what I mean?
That was the first time he's ever done
that
it in his life.
That was ugly, dude. That was ugly. Lee.
It was. The bat was out. Like it was all disconnected from his. I mean,
in his defense,
he never played baseball. But still. Hold on a second, though, because I'm going to get with D-Cell for a sec.
Go ahead.
Think about the first time you ever swung a golf club.
Yes, I swung it correctly.
What if that was videotaped?
I swung it correctly.
Oh, of course you did. You probably pured it 285.
No, I didn't pure it.
I
probably dribbled.
You swung it correctly.
No, I made contact and it went straight right, like they always do. Like they still do.
I mean,
25 years later.
It's an unnatural swing. I mean, golf and baseball. I think it's natural unless you're cutting down trees in the forest.
No.
When are you doing that?
Why is it an unnatural swing?
Because outside of doing this, like, you know, unless you're like Rocky training or you're Paul Bunyan, when do you do that?
I mean, that's just it.
Who does that?
You could figure it out by watching.
The fourth swing, he made good contact.
Yeah, by the fourth swing, he put bat on ball.
It was ugly. It was ugly at first, and then because I looked up, because my kid's here, so I was out of the break, and I'm messing around with the kids the whole commercial break.
But CeCe posted that last night, so I saw it on social media, and I was
you
like,
did. I didn't see it last night, but I looked up because one of the networks underneath, you know, we have all the TVs. We have 9 TVs here in Tiki and Tierney Studio, and I looked down, and I saw the last swing. I'm like, not as
That's
bad
not
as I've heard.
Horrible. Yeah.
And then they ran it back, and they showed the first couple, and I knew what you meant. You're not too good.
No.
Not too good. What do you think? Can we squeeze this in? Want to give it a shot? A Herculean effort? Go. Let's go. Blast. Cuckoo. Another Gronk rumor. Friend tells Pro Football Talk there's a 40% chance. How they come up with that number, I have no idea. That he comes out of retirement. What odds would we put on it if we were going to attach odds to Gronk coming back?
10.
10 that he does or 10 that he does not?
10 that he does.
I think he's coming back.
He's not coming back.
I think he's coming back.
No, he's not.
I think the Pats are going to be desperate. I think he will feel the love and the pull from his buddy Brady.
Yeah.
And he will come back.
And he looks really skinny right now.
That's okay. Better than looking really fat. How about this? Spurs Damari Carroll jokes that there's going to be a lot of tribute videos in the NBA this season with all the player movement. Which players, that's a fair point, should get tributes from former teams? I mean, I saw, everybody does this. Paul George took out an ad in a paper. It's a very good question. In an Oklahoma City paper. He was there for 1 year. Give me a break. I mean, if you spend 10 years, you take out a full page ad, that's great. 1 year, I don't need that. Who get, well, first of all, I mean, Kawhi Leonard shows up in Toronto, the red carpet, get the trumpets, the horns, I mean, blast fireworks.
I mean, it might be Kawhi, and that's it. Right? You're not doing it for
AD and Pelican. They're not doing it for AD. They might boom.
You're not doing it for Kyrie.
No,
Paul George
not
probably
Boston.
He wasn't there enough.
Exactly.
So not Paul. I mean, it might just be Kawhi.
D'Angelo Russell only popped for a year with the Nets, so that doesn't really matter. It's somewhat immaterial.
Yeah.
Not many. Just Kawhi.
Yeah.
Kendrick Perkins, Big Perk, warned Zion about the dangers of gaining weight from local New Orleans food. Legit concern?
Yeah, of course it is, man. You got to be,
a lot of fatty food, a lot of grease,
a lot of butter.
A lot of good stuff, but
it's delicious. It's
tough if you're playing oops.
I mean, it's like Vegas. You can be there for a couple days and you leave very happy, but if you're there for a couple of months, I mean,
you leave very broke, basically.
The casinos as well, as we all know. But
that's a fair warning by Big Perk.
It's a good warning, especially when you heard Coach K say that Zion shouldn't have played in the summer league because he got hurt himself, and he said he wasn't in shape to play in the summer league. Now, there's context to that. He's basically saying because Zion was on the rubber chicken, go get awards everywhere in the world diet.
Mm-hmm.
He just wasn't. He hadn't been on a basketball court, but
You got to find out. You got to go to a 24-hour fitness. Have your agent get you a treadmill. You got to do your job.
I agree.
I mean, I don't care how many banquets you go into to get lauded. You got to be in shape.
Every hotel that he's staying in,
a one-star hotel has a half-behind gym. You can go in there and do something with the medicine balls, whatever. Come on, Zion. All right, the Phillies' Yasiel Rios led up two doubles and a home run, then was tossed by umpire Doug Eadings after he hit Justin Turner with an 84-mile-per-hour breaking ball. Turner even pleaded with the ump not to toss him. Did the ump make the right call?
Really?
He did.
Turned around.
That was actually
like,
fun. I don't know if we have it, but I saw it last night on MLB Network.
Come on, he doesn't need to be tossed.
Well, he wanted to face a slop. He didn't want to take first base on that. He's like, no, I want to keep you. Let him throw that nonsense. I'll pick my average up.
That didn't hit me. What are you talking about?
No, I'm good.
You're not quite dead yet. Yes, you are.
84. Where's the bruise?
No, I'm
where's
not.
The seams? 84-mile-per-hour breaking ball. I mean, again, these umpires have to have. They have to understand the moment, and they have to have greater clarity, and you have to incorporate what pitch is thrown.
Yeah.
If there's intent, you throw it as hard as you can.
You're right.
Not a secondary
pitch. And it's hitting them in the hip or
the
back.
And they always mess that up.
Yeah, I agree.
Ridiculous. See, we could do it. Big 12 says horns down gesture is okay as long as it's quick and not directed at opposing players. That's weak.
Huh?
Should the conference allow the taunt?
Yeah, why not?
I don't know. Why wouldn't they allow the taunt? Is there something racist? I mean, I really don't know. What's the problem?
Unsportsmanlike, as we see Will Greer do this here, do the horns down.
All right.
Score against Texas, you throw the horns down as opposed to the horns up. Horns down.
Oh, please. That's weak, man.
Horns up.
Just give me a break.
Horns down.
So soft.
Horns up. Horns down.
We get it. We get it, Mr. Weirdo.
Wax on.
I don't really even have much of a reaction here. I mean, I don't know what the big deal is, except it seems a little unnecessary. A little. And by the way, we get to time it out. I mean, as long as it's quick, who determines how quick? If it's 2 seconds, is that it? If it's five, is that
I got an idea. I got an idea. Texas. Stop everybody from scoring and win 40-0 every game. Then you don't have to worry about it.
Okay.
Tom Herman.
Let's see how much you were listening. I said the West Carolina nickname before. What was it?
Chanticleers.
No. D-Cell, what you got?
Catamounts.
The Catamounts.
I was listening.
The Catamounts.
Chanticleers. That's who is that?
Chanticleers.
Isn't that?
Oh, geez.
That's a Carolina team.
No. Oh, geez. Oh, come on. Don't stump me at the end of the show.
See? Look, you should have stumped me. I stumped you right
back. Yeah, nobody said Chanticleers.
Coastal Carolina. I knew it was somewhere in Carolina.
I go to Myrtle Beach every year. That's my bad.
Well, it's also Josh Norman, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Josh Norman.
I'm just yesing you. I don't even know what he just said. I just said yes. He could have said anything,
and
I said yes.
Horns down.
Oh,
horns down.
Ice it up. See you tomorrow. Have a great Tuesday. Bye-bye.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.